So just morning, everybody. Just for the take, we've just read John 11, just about the rising of Lazarus from verse 38 to 44. I just want to say to you this morning, how exciting is God? When Chris was reading about those men that have died, I could hear him getting emotional, because it's actually a passion of Chris's, is to kind of look at all the history of that time, and he is very, very passionate about it. I want us to know today that Jesus is wanting us to be so passionate about him.
Yes.
And to know that he is all glorious. So when Jesus comes along in his scene and he commands the stone of Lazarus to be taken away, that couldn't happen unless Jesus commanded the stone to be taken away. For Lazarus to walk free, he needed the obstacle to come out of the way. And as I just sat there and I was thinking this week and asking the Holy Spirit to help me, I was just thinking about, for all of us, in our lives, first and foremost, we had this hard obstacle that was in the way. And you will know that because it was our hard heart. And God had to get our hold of our hard heart and turn it into a heart of flesh so we could ever respond. Because we didn't save ourselves, God saved us. And I was just thinking, the more we understand scripture, and the more we understand that we were dead in our trespasses and it was God who made us alive. Yes. We were once lost and then Jesus found us. We were once in the darkness and then Jesus came along and did something and brought us into the light. It's all, when we're singing this song about, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over all the darkness. Because we've had Jesus speak into our darkness. But we're not, I want to talk to us today in the light of what God has done for us, but what God continues to do for us. Because it wasn't just a once and for all. The massive thing about our hearts that get very hardened is a continuation. It's called sanctification. And it's a continuation of allowing the Holy Spirit. And it can only happen, I want to tell you, as you respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings. So if you are somebody that ignores the Holy Spirit, well, there'll be not a lot going on with you and there'll not be a lot of change. So when Teresa started speaking about half measures, that's where you will live from. And so I just want to say for me personally that I have been on a journey from the minute that I gave my life to Jesus. I have been on a journey of continually guarding my heart. And I want to ask you to do that today, guys. I want you to guard your hearts, because it's what the enemy wants to do, to make us very, just to get us off track somewhere. And this week, it was Tuesday, and as obviously some of you know, but I haven't been very well. And we'd been for a walk on the Tuesday, and Dave had gone out, and he's gone to go do the children that he does in schools. And I was on my own, and I felt quite unwell, and I thought, I'll just lay down on the bed and just close my eyes and maybe just need to go to sleep. Well, I lay down on the bed, the blinds were shut, and I lay down, and you know, my mind was going in the darkest place. And I can honestly tell you, I felt like I was slipping through myself. I felt so poorly. And I was just saying, God, what's happening? And all of a sudden, in an instant, I kind of knew in the spirit what to do. I opened the blinds, I let the light in, and I put the worship music on, and I started to read my Bible. And you know, the only way to guard your heart against the enemy coming to tell you a load of rubbish and infiltrating darkness in your mind is to open the curtains, let the light in, that's Jesus Christ, and to really allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit Spirit to speak to you. You'll never respond when you read the Word of God. So you can read it. Lots of people read the Word of God, but whether it affects them is a different thing. And so you've got to ask the Holy Spirit, please instruct me, please tell me. And so that's what I did in that moment. And it is a warning because, you know, Jesus removed the stone was taken away, but all the time the enemy is wanting to put you back into the cave. And we've got a battle, guys, going on. And Dave's going to be speaking about this next week when he talks about principalities and powers. There is a darkness, and that is what happens. He wants to get you back in. So it's a warning to guard your heart. And we're kind of singing this morning, but be alert. There's too many Christians. They're like saying about their issues and the problems. But if only they'd keep alert and apply the gospel of truth to the hearts, then they would be awakened. But we need to apply the gospel. When we're singing, when I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, if only we would remember the gospel of what Jesus did for us. That Jesus removed all the powers of darkness over our lives, and he brought us into light and freedom, and he made us alive together with him, and we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we've got to remind ourselves, guys. So if you've got a difficult situation you're going through, if you've got illness, which I have, it's no point looking down at your circumstances and looking down at your problems and looking down at your troubles that are going on, looking down at your fears. It's no point looking down at them. What did Chris say? Chris said about the war, and this is what always happens in war, they got to the high point.
Yes.
You've got to get to the high point to look down, to see what the enemy's doing. And if you don't look to the high point, the enemy will have you in a second. And we all know that's true. It can trip us. And, you know, recently, for me and Dave, just being leaders and knowing things that happen in church, we have seen and heard so many issues with leaders that have fallen into sin, committing adultery, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You get the old thing about power, sex and money. You know, there's corruption going around, and nobody is exempt. I want to tell you that. Not one person is exempt. And that's why you need the Word of God, because it's alive and living. And it finds the intention of your heart, if only you would let it find the intention of your heart. And so this voice wants us to return. So this voice of the enemy. So you have to really be very, very on your guard not to listen to it. And so when you get the enemy wanting you to put you back into the cave of insecurity. I don't know what you're like. You might be very confident, but a lot of people are very insecure about themselves. And only the Word of God tells us who we are and the confidence that we have in Christ Jesus. It's not a confidence that we have in ourselves and our own strength. It's a confidence that we have in Christ. And so this is what I'm saying. Read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. Because the more you read the Word, the more confident you will become. And I want to tell you about this confidence. It is not an arrogance. Because it isn't coming from yourself, it is coming from Christ Jesus. And we can hear many arrogant people, we've heard them, me and Dave have even heard them this week, in churches, we can hear the arrogance, but it comes from the strength of their own, not in Christ Jesus. Because if you are confident in Christ Jesus, let me tell you, it makes you humble. It doesn't give you arrogance, and it doesn't make you prideful, it makes you humble. The gospel makes you humble. And like there's so many things, this paranoia. If you only look in the media wants to make people paranoid about how they look and who they are and what they're doing. I mean, you get all this absolute garbage on Instagram about how everybody's living. Or now they're doing a picture of what they're eating to make other people feel insecure, make other people feel jealous. I don't know why they do it. Anyway, if you do it, please don't do it. It's horrible. But it's not nice. I just don't find it nice. It's having to, like, say, this is my life and this is who I am. Our life is in Christ. So we don't need to tell the world what we're doing. We'd be better telling the world about Jesus than telling them about what you're eating. And then for fears, he wants to put you back into these caves of fears. And you know, fear is a massive thing, and when we hear about everything that's going on in the world, you know, you can get anxiety and you can get fear, but the scripture says that he has not given us fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And it is your mind, can I help you all? It is your mind that goes first. So if you don't keep in the word of God, your mind goes off track. Your mind goes in strange places. Your mind goes in darkness. It goes in depression. It goes in areas where you shouldn't go. But if you apply, and I've had to learn to do this over the years, because I knew what it was like to live with a dark mind. I knew what it was like to live in addiction. So I knew that the enemy was putting me in a cave of addiction. So I know those things. So I'm not speaking to you as if I'm speaking at you. I've been in those places, so I know what the enemy does. And it's not good. Because once you get in a cave, you need a loud voice. You need a voice saying, take away the stone. And you're going to need a loud voice to shout, whatever your name is, come out, for you to be able to come out. And let me tell you, God, wherever you are today, whatever you're going through, God can get you out of it. And I just want to tell you that. And you'll know that you're in your caves because this is what happens to you. Your gifting starts to lay dormant. And your gifting starts to wane. Because when you're saved, God has called you all for a purpose. And so you've all been given a gift, whether you know what that gift is or not. But God has given you a gift. It's maybe hidden in there and it's never been brought forth, but it's in there, I can assure you. And it lays dormant. And so the enemy tells you to keep silent. And another thing he does, he kind of does this thing where you feel this loss and this disconnection. So if you know, if you're in a cave today, this disconnection, first he does, it makes you feel disconnected with the God of heaven. Because it said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And love your neighbour, love each other. And the first thing he does, he gets you disconnected with him and the enemy, and then he gets you disconnected with the church family. So it's a tactic of the enemy. Well, I'll tell you, church, we're not going into it, because we're listening to what God's saying. And there's a big picture that God's doing, because he said last week to us, he has entrusted us to display God's glory. We don't display it very well if we're in a cave.
Yeah.
We don't display it very well if we're asleep. We don't display it very well when our gifting is not working properly. Because when we come together, we all need our gifting to be working properly. Because we help each other, as you will see in a minute. And Jesus is looking somewhere for these... for these people, you know where it says, shout Jesus to your family, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness. I can't remember all the words, but it just says, get Jesus loved up. Get Jesus Tourette's. Start shouting Jesus wherever you go. Pray Jesus wherever you go. So when I come into Selby, riding along on my bike, I'm praying Jesus. When I walk around the streets of Selby, I'm praying Jesus. And I'm hoping that I bump into somebody so I can say something about Jesus. So get into that mode. And if you're not in that mode, it'll tell you that something has gone to sleep in you. Something has gone to sleep, because that's who we are. We're meant to go give Jesus away. And he wants an army. And let me tell you, there's been some radicals even yesterday on the move. So there have been the radicals on the move in the streets of London. And they'll come in darker forces all over the world. And if the church is not rising up as a mighty army,
yeah,
let me tell you, we are going to get taken out, guys. So we've got to rise up with this supernatural faith that whatever we see, we know the name of Jesus is greater. And so I just want to ask you, where are you? Do you know that you belong to this army? Are you part of this army? Are you moving together? Are you praying for each other? Are you watching each other's backs? What are you doing in this army? I just want to ask you that. And so it's very important. It makes me laugh because I write things down. And last week I wrote some things down and I said to Dave that when I was looking, I couldn't even see the words on the page. So I just had to allow the Holy Spirit to like work, and that's what he does. And so I want to just say these couple of things in the scripture. So right, listen to what Martha says. So Jesus says, take away the stone. And what does Martha say? Oh, Martha, she needs to get a grip, doesn't she? So Martha said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. And then Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Oh, for goodness sake, he's saying to her, Mary, cop on, girl. He's saying to her, your mind's in the way. Your mind has got in the way. And what does it say in Scripture? Do not lean on your own understanding. Your mind's got in the way. You need your supernatural goggles on. You need these different lenses. You need to see with spiritual eyes. You need to see the supernatural. Well, you need awakening to supernatural faith. Didn't I say, I am the resurrection and the life? Didn't I say that to you? But in a moment, she's forgotten. And is that not exactly what happens to us? We see a miracle. Jesus speaks to us. And then in a moment, we've forgotten it. What's all that about? Jesus gives a miracle and he tells us something to believe for a greater miracle that's to come. He stretches you out somewhere. He doesn't do a miracle and then something that you can't see comes along and then you're going, oh, what's happening? I don't know what's happening, for you to go all weak and you have no strength in you and to not know who God is. He gives you a miracle to understand who the mighty, powerful God of heaven is. And to get you to believe, I'm going to believe for something greater now.
Yes.
I think in the new year, we're really going to need to do some testimonies each week in this church. Because I think we need some testimonies to awaken everybody. Let's see where everybody is. Let's see what God's doing with each other. And we won't say, let's do this thing. We won't say, ask somebody to do a testimony. Let's start the new year and we will just say, right, who's coming up to do a testimony now? Let's test ourselves. Let God raise the bar in your hearts to believe for something. Linda just spoke to Linda. Amazing testimony. She could get up and come and do a testimony this morning of God turning up powerfully. You've all got them. I can hear them. But whether you understand and relate with them, that it's God. It's beggar's belief. I just don't know sometimes where you are. But God wants to wake us up to know who he is. And you see, what happened with it? There's many people. So do not do this thing. There's many people who believe in God, but they don't believe God. So many people believe in God, yeah. So you'll get the world. Oh, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. But they don't believe God. And do you know why they don't believe God? I'll tell you about the scripture that is amazing, if I can remember. In Romans 8, and I don't know what verse it is, so I'm sorry, because I'm just rambling. It says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that he of the resurrection, you will be saved. I think it's something like that. But it says this thing. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, this is the key to your walk with Jesus Christ. And I will say it over and over and over and over again. You have to bow. You have to surrender. You have to lay your life low to the Master. And if he is not your Master, I'm afraid you cannot confess with your lips that he is Lord of your life. Because you can't. He has to rule you. He has to be the one telling you. He has to be the one directing you. You have to be listening to the Holy Spirit so you can move and flow where he is going. This week I've had to change, I've changed some things with the Christmas experience, what I do, because God was saying to me, you're troubled, you're a bit like the martyr. You're doing the running about, and you're troubled in heart, and I felt anxiety. And God said, I want to take a responsibility off you. And I want you to then not give it to somebody else. Don't give somebody else a responsibility. I want to take it off you, and I want you to do something different. And so then I had to be rearranged, and I had to change my way of thinking. How many of you guys are you listening to God, and you're changing the way you're thinking? You're listening in the spirit, and you're thinking, actually, I always did it that way, but God, I'm listening to you now. I'm going to do it a different way. Because God is a God who's moving, and he's on the move, and he's not stagnant. He's not doing the thing that he did in the past. He's doing it, behold, as a new day and a new thing. So he's always ever changing. And if you get stuck in the fact that this is what the enemy does, this is the biggest lie that he does with you. The enemy, if you get in a cave, or if you're not in a great place, he actually wants to do this thing. He wants to make you satisfied with where you are. So he tries to make you comfortable with where you are. And he says these things to you. And why I'm saying it to you, I'm not talking at you, because he said it to me. So he says to you, this is just who you are. You're just a person that's got a bit of anxiety. You're just that kind of makeup. This is who you are. You don't really have to listen to what these people are saying, but this is just who you are. A load of tosh. It's an absolute load of rubbish. The Bible doesn't tell us that. And so he wants to satisfy you with just being where you are. I want to ask you today, are you satisfied with where you are? Because I am. Because I truly am not satisfied with where I am. Because I know there's more. And I know there's more power. And I know there's more than what God wants to do with me. And I know that there's more freedom that God wants to bring. And so we get so tied up in the logic of the natural that we miss and we deny and we resist the supernatural. So I'm going to say that to you again. We get so tied up in the natural that we resist, we deny, and we miss the supernatural. So I want to tell you, has your mind got in the way? Are you leaning on your own understanding and not going to the Word of God? And so let's get some expectations this morning, because we're going to have some time where we're going to pray for somebody. We're going to pray for each other, and we're going to watch God come. And so when I was saying last week, what we say and do matters, I want to really tell you it really does. Because if we're an army, what we're doing and saying matters. So when I'm telling you about people that have fallen into sin, it matters, because they've brought dishonour to the glory of God.
Yes,
so it matters what you do. It matters how you speak. So if you're at work and you are a swearer, and God he isn't master of your swearing. I don't know why I'm saying this, because I'll be saying it to somebody. And he isn't master of your tongue. Let me tell you, you will not have a good witness there. He has to be, what you say that comes out of your mouth, what you do and your actions have to be honourable. Dave wrote a great piece, if you get Silver Times out, about the hypocrisy of the church. Because the world is looking in and it sees the hypocrisy. It sees them living just like them, and it can't understand why they're preaching what they're preaching, because we have to look different. We're not perfect. And when we fall and we're short, and if we say something we shouldn't say, we can say to somebody, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That came out of my mouth and I don't know where it came from. But we have to be accountable for who we are. I can't tell you, that talk that you did on speech, it is absolutely rocking. It did not bring condemnation to us. It brought a challenge to us. It's a very, very different thing, because the Word of God does not condemn us. The Word of God challenges us. And when we're challenged, we have to do something about it. And that was a challenging word. It did something to us that challenges. Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. And so, let me tell you, the person with the greatest mouth is Jesus. So when he shouts, oh, does somebody want to do a loud voice? Can somebody shout, come out, Lazarus? Cal, shout over there.
Come out, Lazarus. Come out, Lazarus.
Oh, Cal, that was a bit wreck. How do
you come out, Lazarus.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was a good one. So can you imagine when the God of heaven, the divine God, shouts in this loud voice, come out, Lazarus. He's shouting at the top of his voice. And it wasn't a whisper. The Lord's voice does not whisper. It says in Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. His voice is majestic. His voice breaks something. So his voice breaks the power of darkness. And in that instant, the power of God came. And the dead man that had no heartbeat, the dead man, all of a sudden his heart began to beat. He was dead and he was made alive. And there's some guys here, you are dead. I want to tell you, God is telling me to tell you you are dead. And God wants to shout to you and he wants to bring you alive this morning. And you see, the story is so amazing. How amazing is this story? So not only, you can tell I'm excited. I was excited at 5 o'clock this morning. I was on like, yee-haw, you know, poor day. And, you know, this morning I felt so well when I got up. I felt so, and he's just said to me, he says, Tanj, that's what he calls me sometimes. He says, you're like on your back on your crazy mode. Because I have felt so, like, I can't explain it, like so poorly. But this morning, I don't. Hallelujah. I've got breath in my bones. But the story gets exciting, so I'm mounting up. Because, you know, he could have done it all. So Jesus could have shouted out to Lazarus, come out, because he was God, he was fully powerful, and he could have said, come out, and out he came, mummified like that. And then supernatural, God could have just went, whoo, like that, and all these rattles that were on him could have just been nothing. But he comes out like a scene from The Mummy, like that, and he's like waddling. And I don't know what you're like, but I was years and years that I was waddling about. I could tell you, I was a Christian, and I could say that I asked Jesus into my life. Did I know that he was Lord? I don't maybe think I did, but I asked Jesus into my life, the best I knew when I was young. And until I made him Jesus Lord and Saviour, everything started to happen. But anyway, that's another story. But I kept needing to be unravelled. So we need one another to help each other to keep being free. So not only Jesus did he call him and he was alive, but he needed freeing. And I think that's where we are today, guys. And I think that's where we are this morning. We can be alive, we can know Jesus. But whether we're restrained and we feel very free is a different thing. And so if you do not feel freedom in worship, you're restrained. If you can't put your hands up to Jesus, you're restrained. If you can't just be yourself, you're restrained. If you're in depression, you're restrained. The enemy's got you. You might be alive, but you're restrained. If you're somebody who's in fear, you're restrained. You need them taken off. And what did the God of heaven do? So kindly, he said, this is what I'm doing. You go. See, you, all of us, church, he's asked us to take each other's bindings off. He said, I want to use you. I want to use your giftings to go pray for somebody else. I want you to come and unravel each other. Well, this is what I'm saying. If we're in caves, if we're in places where we're asleep, how can we go help each other? We all need to be functioning well. And I was going to give you my testimony, but I'm not. But all I just want to say is this, is that God has continued to unravel me. And he has continued to bring me into freedom. I am not the full article. So if you think I'm a little crazy and, oh, she seems to be all right, she's like, don't mind having a jig about, there's more for me. There's more for me. There's more for you.
Yep.
And You know, God acts as that to whisper his love for me and his love over my life. I can remember going somewhere and this guy just came and we know and he just wanted to sit and he said, you know, Jesus just loves you just as you are. Just as you are. You don't have to look like anybody else, be anybody else. He loves you just as you are. And I needed that word to unravel me. Because I had this thing about being Yorkshire with a Yorkshire voice. And because where we moved with a lot of Londoners and they had a voice that was very well spoken, that's all I could say. And you know, you get people getting up and saying prophetic words in very nice voices, and then you get me getting up and I'm saying, God's just saying to you, no. And I don't think I liked how I was. I just don't know what it was that was going on. But when God said, I just love you and I want you to receive my love, I love you for just who you are, let me tell you, I was running around that place saying, I love me. Not I love me as if I love myself, but I love me. I love what God's created because he has created us all for him. He hasn't created us for ourselves. He's created us for us. So when it says to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, for people who understand their gospel, it's not very hard because inside us, we were created for Jesus, we were created for the Father, we were created to be with the Holy Spirit, we were created to be in heavenly places. And so we can deny ourselves because we were not created for us and our lives. So it's easier to deny yourself if you understand the gospel rightly. So if you understand what Jesus has done on the cross for you, you'll understand that you can deny yourself because it's all for him. Yep. It's easy. It's not hard. Because I think some people are finding it hard to make Jesus Lord and Master. But it isn't hard. It isn't a hard thing to do. You just have not heard the gospel rightly. Jesus laid everything down for you and gave you everything when he died on the cross.
It's true.
Gave you the fullness and he wants you to be in the fullness. So shall we get in the fullness today, guys? Shall we do it? So, you're just like maybe thinking, what on earth is going to happen now? Well, I just want to tell you, that's lovely. I love to think what is going to happen because I don't even know what's going to happen. But we're going to get, like, ordered but messy. So, I like a bit of mess. And I don't like to feel in control about anything, because if we're in control, then God isn't in control. So if you're a bit of a control freak, you maybe need to get some of your unravelings off you, because God's in control, and so he never gives us anything that's terrible. He's got good gifts for those who love him, and his plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, and he's doing it. Right, so what I think we'll do is... I'll give you an option. Right. If you think at this point, hell, I want to get out, you can go. You've got free will, you can go out. The door's there, open it up, there's another door, open that, you go. But what I want to tell you, you might have missed out on something very lovely. But you can go. And I want to tell you something else. Nobody will be looking at you if you're going, either. And nobody will be judging you if you're going. You'll have to go now, everybody on the table.